Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, church. And yes, I have a 10-year-old, double digits. That means I'm getting old, older too. I told him this morning, though, that his mama wasn't ready to have somebody in double digits. And so, as the principal of our family, he failed 9 and had to repeat. He didn't take too kindly to that. But you pray for us. Tomorrow, we're going to take a bunch of kids to Cedar Point. Yeah, so please, we covet your prayers. But looking forward to, I just appreciate the family God has given me. And looking forward to today. Birthdays are big days at our house. And so we're going to celebrate big today and apparently tomorrow, like I said, as we babysit all them kids at Cedar Point. So I appreciate, like I said, your prayers in that regard. We are looking at Joshua chapter number 3 this morning, looking at the idea of forward by faith. And I agree with Brother Frank. You guys and myself, too, kind of feel like we've been at graduation parties all day yesterday or running around doing yard work all day yesterday or some of you coming off of just big days. And so, you know, I tell people, because sometimes people do accidentally fall asleep in church. It happens. If it happens, I'm just glad you got something out of the service, right? Even if it's a little shut-eye. But no, you preach with me this morning, and I think it'll help each and every one of us as we look to what God has for us today. As we look again in Joshua, we want to remind ourselves that Joshua here comes after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We saw in the book of Numbers, and kind of referenced this last week, how in Numbers chapter 13, it gives us the account of the children of Israel on the brink of the Promised Land. You'll remember they sent 12 spies in. 10 of them searched out the land. They saw the blessings of the land, but they also saw the battles that would have to take place. And so 10 of them came back and said, no, 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 we want no part in this. 2 of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, yes, with God all things are possible. We know how the children of Israel sided. The children of Israel at that time sided with unbelief. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, sided with the 10 that said no. Because of that, they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And an entire generation missed the full blessing and victory of God. Why? Unbelief. Simply that. Unbelief. They chose not to believe God. And it really is that simple. You know, as we consider even in our own life, what is the difference between wandering and winning? What is the difference between being a victim and being a victor? What is the difference between being overcome by something and overcoming? The difference is simply faith. This is the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 11 in verse number 6 that without faith, it is, what is it, church? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're reminded in 1 John chapter 5 in verse number 4 that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, say it with me, even our faith. Even our faith. You know, you look the Old Testament and New Testament alike, at least 4 times in the scripture, the Bible declares that the just shall live by faith. So in Joshua chapter 3, the children of Israel are again on the brink of blessing. The promised land is just ahead. And what we're going to find is that this time, faith is going to make all the difference. You know, I look at us. I look at the Harvest Baptist Temple, I look at the families that God has called out and called to come and be a part of this local assembly. And I see how God has done miraculous things in us. And I see how God has done miraculous things with us. And how God has done miraculous things through us and for us. But my heart's desire is, like we said last week, to refuse to believe that God is done. To refuse to believe that the best days are behind us. No, the best is yet to come. And as we said so often at the beginning of this pandemic thing a year ago, we are not looking back to normal, but we are looking forward to whatever God has next. And so today, from Joshua 3, if you'd allow me, I want to offer a prescription for faith that brings blessing. Offer a prescription for faith that brings victory. Or how can we move forward by faith? Look with me at verse number 1, if you would, this morning. The Bible says this, "And Joshua rose early in the morning. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." I want to point out first this morning by way of application that faith that brings victory, faith that brings blessing, this faith anticipates. Faith anticipates. You know, the Bible here records that Joshua rose up early in the morning. That Joshua got moving because Joshua had great expectations. You know, the thing we find about Joshua all throughout the scriptures as we see him is Joshua simply believed the promises in the word of God. You know, Joshua could look back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning in verse number 22, where we see this declaration, how the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Look at verse 23. "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware to our fathers." In other words, Joshua recognized that God brought them out of Egypt so that God could bring them into blessing, so that God could bring them into victory. You know, there are a whole lot of Christians today who, though they say that they are saved from the penalty of their sin, though they understand that this salvation includes being saved from the power of their sin, we sit around and woefully feel like we're still slave to sin. But Joshua, in Joshua's faith, Joshua got up early. Joshua got moving because Joshua had great expectations. Joshua believed God. We see Joshua here. He was looking forward to what God would do, not demanding what he thought God should do. You know, when we walk by sight, it causes us to look for certain things. When you and I walk by sight, it causes us to look for certainty. It causes us to look for ease. It causes us to look for answers. We're going to see momentarily that Joshua had none of those in his sight. How many of us like certainty in life? Yes, I like certainty. I love certainty. How many of us enjoy ease? Oh, it has its place, absolutely. Some of you are so at ease right now, you're not even raising your hands. I love it, it's good stuff. How many of you like having all the answers? Yeah, absolutely. Walking by faith causes us to search for those things. Walking by sight, causes us to look, to search for those things. But walking by faith causes us to look for something different. Walking by faith causes us to look for what God is doing, to look for where God is working, and how it is that you and I might get in on it. I tell you, when we walk by faith, when we have faith that anticipates, and anticipating faith, it will change the way you come to church. It'll change the way you come to church. Because when we come to church, there'll be an anticipation that I'm going to meet with God, and I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to hear from God, and God's going to conform me to the image of His Son, and it'll change the way we come to church. Hey, when we have anticipating faith, it'll change the way you look at your family. When you and I have anticipating faith, it'll change the way you view your health. It'll change the way you view your work. It'll change the way you view every aspect of your life, because you will begin looking at your life and looking for what God is doing. I'm going to tell you the truth. Revival will not come to the church while believers sit in greater expectation and have a greater anticipation for their Saturday off than they do their Sunday worship. Anticipating faith is what makes the difference between a get to and a have to Christianity. Anticipating faith, hear me now, even finds the blessing in the burden. I love what David said in Psalm 23 in verse number 5, as he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine." Some of us, myself included, would probably only see them enemies. Well, God, why are all these enemies around all the time? Can't I get a break every now and again? Lord, there's always battles and battles and battles, and this is happening over here, and that's happening over there, and I got this going on in my family, and I got this going on at work, and we see the enemies, don't we? But anticipating faith says, you've prepared a table before me. Even in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest mine head with oil, my cup runneth over. You see, anticipating faith will change the way you see things. Can I meddle a little bit this morning? Anticipating faith will even change the way you see change. You know, in this moment, everything was going to change for Joshua and the children of Israel. The moment they crossed Jordan, the moment they entered into the promised land, everything changed. Everything they had known for 40 years was going to change. Everything they had known for hundreds of years before that was going to change. But anticipating faith will even change the way we handle change. You see, unbelief says, I want to go back to where it's safe. I want to go back to where I feel comfortable. Which, by the way, is why so often we see in Exodus Numbers, the children of Israel talk about going back to Egypt. Was it because Egypt was so grand and great? No, they were slaves in Egypt. But it's because Egypt is what they knew. It's because Egypt was where they were comfortable. See, unbelief says, let's go back to where it's safe. Let's go back to where I feel comfortable. But faith says, let's move forward to where God is working. Church, can I say this morning, we don't need to fear change. I know in a Baptist church, there would probably be an emergency business meeting right after the service, and I'll be excommunicated. But we don't need to fear change. We don't need to fight change. We don't need to allow change to frustrate us. Why? Because it's not backwards to normal. It is forwards to what God has next. Not back to normal. Forward to next. The sad truth is, a lot of us are stuck on the good old days. Which, by the way, weren't as good as we remember them. But there's a nostalgia there because I think we recognize we didn't really appreciate what we had when we were there. And so we're stuck on the good old days. The problem is when you're stuck on the good old days, you're missing what God is doing today. You see, anticipating faith, it changes things. You know, I'm going to talk tonight as part of our question and answer session about vision for the church. Somebody asked the question, it's a phenomenal question. Since our church is almost out of debt, do you have a vision for our church moving forward? Yeah, I do. And tonight, I'm excited to share some of that. And some of that is going to be exciting and new and building. Some of it is going to be change. Some of it is just, it's just vision. But you know what? Here's the thing. Anticipating faith, oh, it changes the way you see things. Even the way you see change. Because here's the thing about faith that brings victory. It anticipates. Faith anticipates. You with me this morning? Would you say amen?
Amen?
Let's move on in Joshua 3. Pick back up in verse number 2. The Bible says this, and it came to pass that after 3 days, the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it, speaking of the ark, about 2,000 cubits, about half a mile by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. So what is it about faith that brings victory? Faith that brings blessing. First, number one, we saw that faith what? Faith. And anticipates. Number two, let me point this out. Faith concentrates. Faith concentrates. Joshua and the people were commanded to put their focus on the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant, the ark of God's presence among and going before his people is mentioned some 16 times in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Joshua. And so Joshua and the people were commanded to put their focus on the ark and not the Jordan River. They were commanded to put their focus on the ark and not the other side. Now, let me explain something about the Jordan River at this point, because this doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to you and I. But we find that the river that they had to cross was a swollen river. It was a full and overflowing river. Look over at verse number 15 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, and as they bear the ark, they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. Look what it says, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. So let me paint a picture for you. It's not like a pleasant little creek that you have to skip across rocks to get to the other side. No, this was a river raging and swollen. The Jordan River at the time of harvest often stretched about a mile wide. Often the currents raged at upwards of 40 miles per hour. The bottom of the Jordan River was a tangle, a jungle of large weeds. And so the Jordan River, well, was not some nice little creek that we skip through. No, the Jordan River was a raging death trap. The Jordan River was a mountain, an immovable object in the sight of the people. Yet Joshua and the children of Israel over and over and over again were commanded not to look at the river, not to look at the giants on the other side. They were not to look at safety and security and ease and answers. They were told to look on the ark. Now let me explain a little bit more about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the Old Testament picture of God with men. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were a couple of different things. Number one, there were the stone tablets that contained the Ten Commandments of Moses. And this was a picture of God's desire for a relationship with man. Also in the Ark of the Covenant was a pot of manna. You'll remember that the Lord fed the children of Israel with manna each day in their wilderness wanderings. And so they collected a pot of manna and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And this pot of manna represented God's resources towards his people.
We also have in the ark the budded rod of Aaron. When God was establishing who was going to lead his people and God was establishing the ways of worship among his people, God budded the dead rod of Aaron, much like we're going to bud our tree out in the Welcome Center. But God budded that rod to prove that God could bring life where there was no life, and God would use whom he would. And it is representation of the readiness of God to use dead things to fulfill his will. On the top of the ark was the mercy seat, represented the righteousness of God. This was God's presence with his people. It was God's desire for relationship, God's display of his resources, God's display of his readiness, God's display of his righteousness. It was God's presence with his people. And here's what happened. Here's what faith that concentrates does. We see Joshua. Joshua's concentrated faith brought perspective. The Jordan River was big, but it wasn't bigger than God. I'm going to say it again. The Jordan River was big, but it wasn't bigger than God. And what we find is how and what we magnify, how and what we concentrate on will determine our perspective. In other words, I'm going to show you a picture of something. Luke, do we got the picture loaded back there? Hold on. I need to let everybody know this might cause great trauma to some. And so if you are one who easily suffers trauma, close your eyes and I'll let you know when it's safe to open them. Luke, show the picture. But we've spent the last year and a half in our culture, in our world, magnifying something microscopic. And when we concentrated on that, what happened? When we concentrated in that, we lived in fear. When we concentrated on that, the world shut down. When we concentrated on that, people vacated their responsibilities. When we concentrated on that, it changed everything. Because what you concentrate on will determine your perspective. You know, you can take a microscope and take little things and make them big, and you can paralyze your life. And by the way, we do that spiritually too. We take a microscope and we focus on little things and we paralyze our spiritual lives. But you know, the other thing about magnification is I can take a telescope and I can focus it on something big. I remember the first time I looked at the moon through a telescope and I thought, wow, it's not just this flat, shiny ball. Look at all those craters and look at all that detail and design. And what happened with the telescope is I was able to take something bigger than I could imagine and bring it into focus. You see, we can do that too. We can put our attention on Almighty God. We can put our attention on who He is. And all of a sudden, we begin to bring into focus things that we never imagined. But boy, when we put our focus on God, it certainly frames our perspective differently than if we put our focus on, go ahead and put it back up, Luke, on that. You see, where we put our perspective matters. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot in the church who live life like a nervous Nelly. And we just, whoa, and we fret about everything, and it's just all going to turn out so bad. And we worry, 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 except we forget that we're to be careful, anxious, worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, where you put your focus matters. Let me give you another one. Not only are some of us nervous Nellies, some of us are what I'm going to call energetic Eeyores. You don't just sit in your broken down stick house and go, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. No, you run around and tell everybody, woe is me, woe is me, woe is us. Did you see what's happening with the stock market? We're all going to lose our money. Did you see what's happening with the government? We're all going to lose all our freedoms. Did you see what's happening with our health? We're all going to die. Woe is us. And you know, and we're like energetic Eeyores running around spreading the doom and gloom of our world. Let me ask you, since when has COVID been bigger than God? Since when has the stock market been bigger than God? Since when has your boss been bigger than God? Since when has the U.S. government been bigger than God? Since when have the chains of your sin been bigger than God? Since when has your burden been bigger than God? You see, here's the thing, is faith that brings victory, it concentrates. I tell you this, we don't carry around an Ark of the Covenant, do we? But you know who God with us is? Oh, it's not some gold-laden box. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of God with us. He is the fulfillment of God's desire for relationship with us. Because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He is the fulfillment of God's resources for us. When Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he talks about how in him and through him, he says, he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He is the fulfillment of that resurrection. God using dead things to do his will. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse number 4, it puts it to us this way. But God, who is rich in mercy toward us, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, he is God's fulfillment of his resources. Philippians 4 and verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Church, you and I need faith that concentrates, but that concentrates on the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. Come on, church. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It means he has all power. Jesus is living, meaning he enables us as we walk with him. Jesus is leading. Jesus is liberating. And I'll tell you this, Joshua didn't know when. All he was told was to tell the people, look at the ark. And when the ark moves, you move. Guess what? You don't have to know when either. You know what? Joshua also didn't know where. He didn't know where. What was he told? When the ark moves, you move. Guess what? You don't have to know where either. Joshua didn't know why or how. But Joshua knew, if I look at the ark and I follow the ark, that I will find every blessing and victory God has provided. In church, we don't always have to know when and where and why and how. We just need to know Jesus. To know Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Because faith that brings victory, faith that brings blessing, faith concentrates. Let me give you one more and we're done. Look with me at verse number 5. We'll read through verse number 8. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So what is it about faith that brings victory? We saw number one, church, that faith anticipates. Let's say it again. Number one, faith. We saw number two, that faith
Number three, faith activates. Faith activates. You know, the thing about faith is it's what I call an activating verb. In other words, if I possess faith, then faith is going to activate something within me. It is going to produce something in me or through me. Faith that doesn't produce is dead. It isn't faith, James chapter 2. I love the story of the old boat captain, and he's out on the sea on the dark and stormy night. It's always a dark and stormy night when they're out on the sea. But this old boat captain, he's out on the sea on a dark and stormy night, and the passengers come to him and say, "Captain, what will we do?" And the captain said, "Well, the vessel that we are on is old, and it's leaky, and it's creaky, so we may sink." "Oh no," the passenger said. "Is that our only option?" And the captain said, "Well, no. In fact, the boilers here of this vessel are weak. It may explode. We may go up." The captain said, "At any rate, mark my words, we may go down or we may go up, but we will go on." Church of Jesus Christ, let's go on. Let's go on. What I see about their faith here, activated faith, brings preparation. They sanctify themselves to the Lord. The idea of sanctify means to dedicate, to consecrate, to prepare one's self for someone or something. You can think of it, it is the preparation that you have. Perhaps when somebody comes over and you are preparing yourself, preparing your house, preparing the meal, you are preparing for a purpose. These people were prepared for the Lord to do a work. The idea of sanctification in the Old Testament, they would do some things physically. They would wash themselves, they would wash their clothes, they would put away what displeased God. They were on spiritual alert. They were ready for what God was going to do. I ask us this morning, are we ready for what God has for us? Are we ready? You know, sometimes I think we say, you know, "Lord, do a work," or "Lord, open this door." I was talking to somebody last week about getting back into the prison and jail ministries. Boy, that would be good, wouldn't it? But we were talking, it was a wonderful conversation, and he was like, "You know what, if we're going to ask for it, we better be ready for it. Because if we're going to ask for it, we better believe God's going to do it. And so if we're going to believe God's going to do it, we better be ready to walk into that jail and do ministry. Not, oh, you're ready? Well, give us a month, and then we'll be there." Church, are we ready? Are we ready for God to open doors? Are we ready to see God save souls? Are we ready to see God call people to ministry? Are we ready to see God do a work? I dare say if we want to see God do a work, we better prepare for it. I dare say if we want to see God do a work, we better be ready for it. Activated faith brought preparation. Activated faith brought a push. They were to press forward and enter into the water. Remember the swollen river, 40-mile-per-hour currents, jungle of weeds on the bottom. But God wasn't going to work until they got their feet wet. God wasn't going to work until they got their feet wet. Here's a statement for all of us this morning. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequences. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of the cost. I think about Noah, good old Noah. You look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, we see this testimony of Noah, that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things is not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, Noah was asked to build a big old boat to prepare for rain and a flood, which the world had not yet seen. Let me ask, do you think Noah was well received by his community? Do you think Noah had the reputation for being the cool church in the area? Do you think Noah had the respect of the scientific community? Do you think Noah made the nightly news? Oh, I do. Not in a positive way. At the Ark Encounter, they actually did like a little documentary about what it might look like had Noah made the nightly news. It's kind of interesting. And yet Noah, year after year after year after year after year after year, built an ark. Why? Because faith activates. And Noah recognized the world doesn't have to understand. The world doesn't have to approve. I don't have to have all the answers. I just need to obey God no matter the cost. I'll give you another one from Hebrews chapter 11. I think about Abraham. Abraham, and when he sacrificed or went to sacrifice Isaac, the Bible says by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Remember, God told him to go and to sacrifice his son Isaac. Verse number 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. Now let me ask you this. We all get it. Like Easter, yeah, the tomb is empty, amen. Christ is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Oh, we can do better than that. He is risen. He is risen. Man, you and I, we're well accustomed to resurrection. Hey, I'm looking forward to my own resurrection one day, getting a new body. My finger's not going to be crooked no more. My knee's not going to hurt no more. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. But you go back to Genesis 22 when all this happened. You know how many resurrections have been recorded for us in Scripture? Zero. Zero. In other words, Abraham was willing to say, I've never heard this done before, ever. But God, if you've said it, no matter the cost, I'm going to do it. You see, this is faith that brings victory. This is faith that doesn't look back to what's normal. This is faith that looks forward to what's next. It's not believing in spite of evidence, but faith is obeying in spite of consequences. So I ask you this morning, if faith that activates brings preparation, faith that activates brings push, how has God spoken to you? What has God called you to do? How has God called you to step out in faith? You know, there are some, we talked about giving earlier, and some of us, God has been working on us for a long time about being faithful to give to his kingdom. I tell you, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, you know what faith does? Faith says, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all the details. I don't have to have all the when, where, whys, and hows. I'm going to step out on faith. You know, some of us, we mentioned new members class. God has been leading you to take that next step, to join a local New Testament church. God doesn't call us to be Lone Ranger Christians. God calls us to get plugged into physical manifestations of his body here on earth and to love one another and to serve one another and to serve our community and be served. That's what God calls. And I wonder if God has been speaking to you and what that looks like to step out on faith. You know, some of us, it might be baptism. We're going to have a baptismal service soon. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. It wasn't a suggestion from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a command. I ask, how has God spoken to you? How has God worked in your heart? I ask you this, and this is the biggest one of all. Some of us, maybe even here this morning, by way of Facebook or even radio, you've never come to the place where you have turned from your sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to tell you, for some people, for all of us, that is the greatest decision any of us could ever make, but it is a step of faith. To turn from your sin, to turn from yourself, and to turn to the Savior. And some of you, you know the life you're living doesn't cut it. You know that to stand before God, we would stand under his judgment because we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And the wage, the consequence of our sin is death. And we know that this life we're living isn't what God intended. And I wonder this morning, a faith that brings victory, a faith that brings blessing, it is a faith causes us to take that step. And I wonder who God is speaking to this morning, who you know that you are not right with God. But this morning, you hear the Holy Spirit of God. You feel the Holy Spirit of God drawing you to the Savior. Faith that brings victory, faith that activates. It anticipates the good work of God. It concentrates on the great person of God. It activates us to the great work of God. And I want you to see as we close this morning, look at God's response to this faith that anticipates, this faith that concentrates, this faith that activates. You jump down to verse number 14. We'll start there. The Bible says this, and it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood up and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of Jordan. And all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. You know what happens when God's people walk by faith? God gives victory. When God's people walk by faith, God gives victory. Let me ask you a question. Has God changed? Has God changed? Has God changed? Has God changed? Has God's word changed? Has God's word changed? Let me ask you this. Has God's practice of honoring the faith of his people changed? And so then, therefore, the key to blessing is not you and I having great faith, but it's you and I having faith in a great God. Hey, you and I, just like in Joshua's day, we have a God who guides us with his presence. You and I, just like Joshua's day, we have a God who gladdens us with his promises. You and I, just like Joshua's day, have a God who guards us with his power. Let me ask you, church, what more could we ask for? What more could we ask for? And the challenge today is simply this. It's not back to normal for us. I'm so excited about what God has for us, but it's not back to normal. It's not back to normal for our families, and it's not back to normal for our church and our ministries, and it's not back to normal for the way we used to live, but it's on to what God has for us next. Let me ask you, is God done? Is God done? He's not done. And so, church, you and I today, I pray we covenant with him to move forward by faith. Forward by faith. Forward by faith. I'm going to tell you, God has been speaking. We talk about faith that anticipates. Perhaps in your own heart, you've recognized, you know what? I haven't really been anticipating the blessing or working of God. Maybe it's when we talked about faith that concentrates, and all you can see is the river. All you can see is the giants on the other side. The safety you feel is behind you with the way things were. Maybe it's what we're concentrating on. Maybe, just maybe, it's that faith that activates. And you know that God has moved in your life and you have been hesitant to take that step. Hey, whatever it is this morning, church, forward by faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Would you stand with me this morning, heads bowed and eyes